If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The Survivor Specialist Phil and Blake are back, and today we are digging deeper into episode number 7 of Survivor 50. I got the title here, Coach is Back, and So is the Merge. And so is Mikey B from Survivor Micronesia. He's here, Watertown Whiskey hat going, founder of Watertown Whiskey. I got my bottle right here. My wife has taken a shot of this and has it ready to go to put in her decaf coffee tonight because she does not like whiskey, but enjoyed this a lot. So I don't know if that's good or bad, Mikey B, but she enjoyed this so much. So that's just like, look, we're talking about Watertown Whiskey right off the bat. My wife is sitting there. She's like, give me a shot of that so that I don't have to bother you during your podcast. So here we are. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're doing good. We're doing good. Last night's episode was more normal. We didn't have the blood moon again. We just had a normal episode of Survivor, and I was happy about that. And I am excited to talk about a normal episode of Survivor for the second time this week.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the three vote-offs was good. It's just they named it the blood moon, you know. But you gotta eliminate three people at once with 24 players. So I didn't mind that. I just don't like how they do the tribe swap. You know, it's like all alliances are formed and then it's like, oh, random luck on who you get, you know. So I agree with you. It was an overrated episode for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And that I think that's the biggest thing is that we had to sit down and we had to do the random vote, the random tribe swap first. That's what everybody seemed to react to. And that's why this week it was a breath of fresh air to just be like, hey, 14 people, one tribal council, one vote, one person going home, nothing too crazy going on. It felt good. And Mikey B, you were one of the actual fans from Fans versus Favorites. Like you actually were a fan of the show coming in, right?
I think I was one of two, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, they were not fans. We can get into that later, but you know, you guys probably know more about detailed Survivor than I do, but I guarantee you could not find a worse tribe than my tribe in the history. And we can get into it if you want, you know, but I was on the worst tribe that's ever been formed in Survivor history. Period. Go.
I mean, that's saying a lot because you were, what, 6 seasons removed from Oolong. So that's not far off. I mean, Stephanie Regrosa's first season, that was pretty disastrous.
I mean, just because they lost. I mean, we had 2 people that quit. Yeah. You know, Jason thought a stick was an immunity idol. Eric Reichenbach, you know, gave his final 5 immunity to a bunch of girls. What else? I mean, it was,
who Natalie, was the other fan?
Natalie did not say one word. On, you know, Alexis was there to promote her book.
That's almost all of them.
Stacy, Tracy was the fan, you know, maybe Joel, but Joel was, you know, had too much.
Joel was a fan of kicking ass is what he was.
Yeah. He's a fan of himself.
He's just glad he can run and punch somebody on national TV and not go to meet the authorities right after. Hmm.
But that list that I just gave you, that's, you know, even though Oolong lost and lost and lost, you know, it's like, you know, two quits. This is bad, really bad. And then we happened to play against the 10 of the best players that had played up until that moment. Yeah.
And two of which are now on this season again. So I know you didn't get to really play with them. You know, you got to spend time with Yao Man and Johnny Fairplay. Lucky. Look at Blake just changed it to Blake again. So there we go. But how, what are you thinking about Sari and Ozzy this time around? What is it? It was 2008 when you played. So 18 years later, how are you feeling about Sari and Ozzy playing this time around?
Sari is just the best. You know, she's just a professional. And Ozzy, it's good to see him adapt, because he adapted at first and then he looked like he was adapting back to the old self and then he quickly turned it around. So, you know, his social game is a little bit is better, you know. So I'm pulling for them both. They're definitely my squad. You know, and they're promoting my whiskey too, so I have to.
if they had said no to promoting the whiskey, would you be rooting against them? Well,
I'm rooting against everybody who didn't respond to me. They're all on watch.
I think there's something in my head where it's like, if you're an NBA fan and you hated LeBron James, like the last 20 years have been awful for you. If you're an Aussie hater and he's still on your screen 17 years later after Micronesia, like, What's going through your head of like, is this guy ever going to stop? Is he going to have enough? Or are you going to be watching Ozzy again in 10 more years?
I mean, I could be biased because I like Ozzy. I've hung out with him, you know, a lot outside of the show. So I'm probably biased with him and with Sari, because I don't mind seeing Sari.
Sari's amazing.
Over and over. You know, coach is a character, so I get him coming back over and over. You know, I don't understand the Colby, you know, every time, you know, no. I do, you know, he was great in two, you know, but do you recall, you know, his reaction when Tina won?
He got up and hugged her. He was pumped for her. He said, hell yeah.
No, it's like the hug is fine. That's respect, you know. But like he was almost like cheering for him. You know. So I was like, maybe that rubbed me the wrong way for all of his future seasons. But and I've also never met him, so you know, I didn't really care to see him back numerous times. But yeah, I mean, all the people that I know, I like to see again and again. You know. So
yeah. So Blake, I'll go to you here. To talk about this, because Coach is back and Mikey B just said he's a character. Coach had been pretty quiet on this season so far. What was your take on Coach coming out with his haikus and all that stuff last night?
Coach was not quiet last night. Coach was the same old Coach or whatever. I think it's funny because there's a few people. It's like, what am I watching? And then what is the internet watching? And what is the internet saying? And like, it almost feels like I can't watch the show without thinking about what the internet's going to say later or going in doing that later. And you're like, Coach is amazing every time, just like these other people are amazing the other time. But when people are like, Coach is so hypocritical, it's not even fun rooting against. It's like, that's what we're supposed to see on TV. You're not supposed to see that in your family tree, or thank God it's not like the person who runs the daycare you drop your kids off. Like, Coach is supposed to be on reality TV driving people crazy so we can contain him to that. Here's your $100,000 every 5 years for appearing. And like, thanks for entertaining all of us, but like, don't break containment. Like, for every person that probably had their daughter play on Coach's soccer team, they're probably like, it's so much cooler to watch him on the screen than call him and be like, why aren't you showing? I don't know if he missed a practice or whatever, but like, I cannot imagine interacting with Coach in a workplace, or my daughter is playing on his soccer team. But of course, it's amazing to watch him do the whole thought process of like, I can't believe you lied, as he's lied three times. I can't believe you lied. I can't believe this. We need a new person. you can get added to this alliance that none of us have talked to you, Rizzo. Come on in. And I think Rizzo, instead of being like, that's the dumbest thing ever, he's like, I'm going to say that later, but great. And it's so funny to me on Token Chains, whenever he was a little bit crazy, like nobody reins him in. In Heroes versus Villains, the most famous rein in thing. And then he does whatever he does on South Pacific. And then earlier, he reins in Christie. And we're like, full circle. But full circle moments don't usually keep going. Where now, Coach is back to being as delusional as he originally was in Heroes versus Villains. And someone has to rein him in again. Is just a hilarious layer where you're like, thank God he didn't go home pre-merge. Because I do want to see this version of Coach and pay it off. Because if we never see Coach again, at least we have, it's 7-4. And just pointing at everyone and being like, him talking straight up to Rick Devin's face and being like, I don't know who leaked it, but whoever did, I'm so mad. And Rick's like, okay. I would be mad too, brother.
It was not Coach's shining light of the season, that's for sure. You know, it gave me flashbacks too, and I'm like, how the fuck do these guys get lucky? You know, all I was trying to do was split a vote to 9 stupid people who didn't understand what splitting the vote meant, and I get voted off. You know, and it's like he tries to rally fucking 14 of the best players that have ever played, you know, and demand a vote, and he gets away with it. Mm-hmm. And he's promoting my whiskey too, so I love you, buddy. You know, hang on, let's do it again, buddy boy.
You're like, as somebody that has a professional relationship with Coach, he's actually a great person.
Yeah. I hung out with him back in the day, but it's been a number of years.
The my favorite part about Coach, and speaking of, you know, he's promoting the whiskey, but in this moment, Rick Devins had been drinking beers over at the Reward. And when he came back, I think Christian said to him, hey, those beers are hitting pretty good, huh? And Devins was like, yeah, it's been good. And then that's when he starts getting in trouble with Coach, because he kind of has the loose lips there. Yeah. And you can see Devins letting his guard down a little bit more. I appreciated that a lot. And that kind of went unnoticed by people last night.
Yeah, you're a professional, because it skipped right by me as well. Who are you again?
Yeah, exactly. I know. This is great. I'm having the time. It was funny because I think Fairplay had you on his podcast. I talk to Fairplay all the time, and I know Fairplay had you on his podcast a while ago. He's like, yeah, I had Mikey B on. And I was like, what'd you talk about? He's like, I forget what his response was, but it was something smart ass, because that's what Fairplay does. You know, he's not going to give you like the straight answer. But yeah, when I got reached out to, and it was like, hey, we got this whiskey that's going on. I was like, all right, I like whiskey. Let's see what's going to happen here. And I'm happy that you're still watching the show, because like you said, you were one of the original fans who actually was a fan on Fans versus Favorites. Are you enjoying the direction the show's going or no?
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't like all the twists and the advantages that are, you know, every episode, and especially like losing a vote. You know, it's like, I'd be okay if you gained a vote or an advantage, you know, but the whole risk versus reward, you know, and like back in the day when they had the, what they call it, the beware advantage, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, I'm not a big fan of all of those, you know, and especially with the storytelling, you know, and all the tribe swaps nowadays, but new players, you know, I'm either not as into it or just too stupid to follow it, you know, but I'm not that invested in it, you know, but every time it's returning players and I know them personally, it's always exciting, you know, so I'm happy and I'm enjoying it, and I get to, you know, cheer and shit on, you know, the people that I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there anybody you don't know from the new era that you're actually enjoying more than you thought on the season so far?
Oh, Christian, he's the best. Love that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's perfect. he really is. He's handled everything perfectly. Mm-hmm. Controversy, you know, honest discussions, you know, every time he had to defend himself or get out of a jam, he did it perfectly. And then his confessionals are great too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so last night, somehow his name doesn't even come up. He gets to that tribal council. He's vulnerable. Name doesn't even come up. Like, and I think that speaks to people are letting their guard down around him again. That's what they did the first time, and they're doing it again.
Yeah. I think if they do it too long, he very well could win for sure. Yeah. Cause he's likable, and he's got enough strategy and making a lot of moves under the radar or above, you know? So I think he's got a good chance.
Yeah. Blake, what do you think about the... Go ahead, Blake. What were you going to say? You look like you had something.
I just was trying to figure out what day D was voted out. And it looks like we took 2 days to vote D out. And I'm just like, how is this numbers going to work? It's just constantly in the back of my head for everything we do of there is 11 days and still 13 people on the show. What are we doing, Jeff Probst? Yeah, what's your question? Because I'm down to answer anything. I haven't talked about anything about this episode, and I have a lot of thoughts.
So Aaron Griglia, while we're still on the coach thing, I think that's Griglia. It's close. Coach was mad at D for calling him a liar. He lied to her last episode. Blake, I know you already kind of talked about Coach here, but is Coach is still like he's getting some screen. He's getting enough screen time to probably be a winner, but there's no shot. If Coach sits at the end, he's right back in his South Pacific position all over again, though.
I mean, there's at least seven people that started this game that can never win, and like five of them are still playing. So like, how does Jonathan win the show when people don't respect him at Final 14? And like, I don't think Jonathan could do anything to win unless he was next to two other people. Like if it's Coach, Jonathan, and Joe, maybe. And like, Coach is like that. Jonathan's like that. I feel like Joe is like that, where you're just like, anytime they say something strategic or have a strategic confessional, I think there's some eye rolls from the audience, but I think there's some eye rolls from Tiffany, who's literally on the beach and doing that too, of like, if D's the first person voted out and Tiffany goes next week, do you think they're going to talk and make sure like five of these people that are playing right now can't win? Because it's like, hey, every time you come to Ponderosa, oh, what happened to you? Well, here's all the negative things about these four people. And if you're not hardcore alliance with Coach, yeah, there's no way Coach wins, which sucks for him. But do you want to live in a world where Coach wins? No, like there's the Browns are never going to win the Super Bowl. It's more fun. The Bills are never going to win the Super Bowl. The closer the Bills get, the more MVPs Josh Allen has, the more devastating the playoff wins happen. If Coach loses 5-4-3 because a plurality and D did something negative to Coach at the end, that would be amazing. That's why we're here. Let's go.
Yeah. Are you a Bills fan or a Browns fan?
Oh, I switched to the Rams whenever I moved to LA. So
yeah,
we've gotten a championship recently where I should shut up about it.
Well, the one point of what you just said, though, like, you know, the Ponderosa hangout, you know, it all depends on who, if it's a bitter jury or not, you know, I mean, because the proper jury will, which I think, you know, returning seasons tend to have more of an accurate jury instead of a bitter jury, because they've done it before, you know, but it really depends on whether they're going to vote for the person that actually played the best game, or they're going to hold, you know, grudges, you know, because it becomes a party, you know, everybody's partying on Ponderosa, you know, together, whether they hate each other or not, you know. And then a lot of times when you didn't like somebody on the island, you become, you know, drinking buddies on Ponderosa, and then all of a sudden it's all washed away.
I mean, that's a thing. I think, like, I could talk to you guys for hours if we put, and whoever gets the most jokes in or whoever mentions whiskey the most wins $400. I would fight both of you guys to the death. Like, not that I need $400 that bad, but I think when you add money to it and you add like this legacy stuff, I think that's kind of obvious, but I think it's worth saying to all the people that are like, why are they so bitter? Why are they so angry? It's like, you are taking that future mansion out of my hands. If I want to move to the middle of nowhere, Utah, and spend this $1 million, oh wait, it could be more than a million. It's an all-star season. If I want to spend that on a mansion in Utah and you took that away from me, I'm going to be mad at you for years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how much, Mikey B, how much do you think that the legacy of players will impact the final vote? Because I know for me, I feel like Rizzo is playing one of the best games out there. And I think he's playing as well as you can play on a back-to-back season where nobody knows who you are, especially with this caliber of players. But then I have a hard time seeing him get the votes. Like, how much do you think legacy will matter? Could Ozzy win without really doing anything in the post-merge just because he's Ozzy? Can Rizzo ever beat somebody like that, even if Rizzo does everything right?
I think he could. Yeah, I don't think legacy will have that big of a bearing on the decisions. No. you know, because even like with me, you know, I was biased against Rizzo. You know, I didn't particularly like him on 49, you know, but I do like him on 50. He is more likable, whether it's the edit or not. And he's playing a smart game. You know, he's acknowledging people's faults. And the great quote, well, I'm not going to quote it, but he said, I think he said it to somebody on, last night of like, you know, the grudges, you know, are at tribal, not at camp.
I have it written down.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It was the coach. He said, yeah. We slay dragons at tribal. We don't slay dragons at camp.
There you go. Phenomenal. You know, and it was true, you know, and that was like the fair play method, you know, mm-hmm. fair play would shit on everybody in confessionals and he'd do his job in tribal, not the one he quit, but the others.
I think that's an actual, like, I haven't thought about that probably ever of if you only fight with people at tribal, it is kind of a separation. It's not where we're living. It's not where we're bored. It's not where we're eating together. It's not where we're doing all of this strategy. I only come out negatively at tribal. And then after that happens, we all reset and go to sleep. So it is kind of like, that's the Riz God me on the beach. I'm Rizzo, but Riz God only comes out. The Dragon Slayer only comes out at tribal. And I think that's a good way to compartmentalize it of it's not, you're not going to have bad blood if on this beach, hey, I'm apologizing. I know that rubbed you the wrong way. We did have to eliminate that player. I thought they were closer to you. I would never do that to you, though. I think Rizzo is going to do that. I don't think Coach will do that tomorrow morning, but I think Rizzo will probably be like, Tiffany, here's what happened. Suri, I don't know if you wanted D to go, but it had to happen, blah, blah, blah. I do agree with you that Rizzo is playing extremely well, where I think – whether it's your make-a-wish or it's your dream of like, I'm a Survivor fan. If I got on there, I'd align with Ozzy and Suri. And you're like, there's no way that would ever happen. Like, you'd have to vote out Suri on the first tribal. And now Rizzo is literally the stand-in character for all these people that are in our chat, all of these podcasters, all of these other people that have played a while. But what would I do if I was on there? If I could be Rizzo and balance Suri and whatever, I would go to the end and win with Suri. And it's like, that would never happen, but Rizzo's actually walking that path and living it where you're like, this is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And I think he's kind of like not the lowest common denominator, but I think most every Survivor fan is either rooting for him or has turned the corner on, like, he's working with Suri. So if he's going to be helping somebody, at least it's my favorite person from the last 14 years. I mean,
but he's not even done. I think he's working with everybody. I think he's likable enough where everybody wants to work with him. You know, I mean, I don't remember all the specifics, but I keep on, you know, it keeps on entering my brain. It's like, oh, they're trying to get him in. They're trying to get him in. You know, Coach tried to get him in and he snuffed that out. Oh yeah. Thanks. You know, because your fourth horseman went away, so now you need another body. Great, you know. But I mean, the coach and even Jonathan, for that matter, you know, they made the same mistake that most people do, you know, of just not shutting up. You know, it's like you can strategize and you can try to get people out, but to argue in front of people, you know, it can't end well.
Yeah. No, exactly. I totally agree. And I'll tell you what, like, I know you have all these people sponsoring, but you got to get Gen Z, Mikey B, and maybe Rizzo needs to be the guy that you're like, hey, I totally loved you on season 49. I don't know what you're talking about. You didn't hear me say that. I loved you on 49. He's the Gen Z guy.
Yeah, you know, but I live my life, you know, as honest as I can be and be as nice as I can be. I can tell him that I didn't like him and, mm-hmm. and you know, turn him around to like me, even though I didn't like him.
He's going to ask you some questions about your seasons, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. It's been a while, you know, I'm going to get them all out right now. You know, I don't think I've talked about it in a long time. But.
Let's do this. So Rizzo does listen to our podcast. Quite a bit. He was a fan of this a long time ago, and I know you had said at the beginning, who are you guys? We're just fans. We've just loved the show for a long time, and we've been around. I've been doing this podcast since season 29, so we got Rizzo here, and Rizzo is going to be listening. So what's a story for Rizzo for Micronesia that'll have him saying, maybe I want to sponsor Watertown Whiskey? You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know about the Watertown whiskey, but
yeah.
Do you guys even know that Ozzy cheated in Micronesia?
What?
Well, I do now.
Well, if you recall, you know, they had fire on day one, you know, and I love Ozzy, but, you know, the part of the returning players, you know, they know that they can get away with a lot of shit that right. all the first time players are scared to, you know, flirt with. And he sewed a magnifying glass in his bathing suit and he got away with it. So he had a magnifying glass, you know, so day one they had fire. So
that's incredible. That's yeah. not quite Hatch's level of going into All-Stars with the matches somewhere. We don't have to say where, but they were somewhere. Not quite at that level, but close.
Yeah.
Did they stay dry?
That I don't know.
Oh, it's airtight, brother.
I mean, because I feel like, you know, just minute one, you're getting off a boat and your ass is getting splashed a little.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're not setting you off on a dock. You know, they're making you jump out of the boat and, you know, get wet. So I don't know. I didn't know that either. But
yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. So Ozzy, see, and that just goes to show, because people always talk about nowadays, especially with social media, big reactions, people breaking NDAs left and right, all this different stuff just goes to show.
I got another one for you. So if you, I don't know if you guys are real fans though, but Alexis was just limping out of nowhere. That they didn't talk about at all. And Alexis and Eric Reichenbach, the jogger, they went to steal food out of the production's camp and they got caught and they were running like in the dark. And I believe she tripped and sprained her ankle.
She did say that she hurt her knee at night. That's like the only storyline we get on that season is that she hurt her knee at night. And that's why she's having a hard time moving around despite being athletic. And we never see it.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of like this like bad boys thought process though. Like why, if you're not trying to cheat, you're not trying hard enough.
I mean, fuck off, Blake. Yeah. Maybe with, you know, all returning players. I don't know, but it's like, you know, I don't know. I guess I don't have an opinion.
What who do you stay in touch with from Micronesia? Anybody other than Sari, Ozzy? I know they're doing the whiskey, but do you actually keep in touch with them, or was it more of like, hey, I got this thing going on?
Yeah, I mean, Ozzy, you know, once a year I'll see him or talk to him about something, maybe twice a year, but he moved away. When he was in LA, I would see him a little more often. Fair Play and Amy Cusack, man, she's my girl. Amy came to my wedding. Short-lived wedding, by the way. It was fun. It was very fun. But Amy's my bestie from my season for sure. Her and Fair Play.
I love
that. They're the two closest. I don't even know. You know, Sari. I got to go on an amazing trip to Japan with. It was like nine of the most famous, you know, survivors that have ever played in me. It was awesome for me. It was like nobody wanted my autograph. Nobody wanted a picture. I'd be hanging out like on the opposite side, just hanging out. Oh, you need me? Okay. Yeah, all right. But Sheree was part of that trip. You know, it was me, Fair Play, Amy, Big James, the Grave Digger. And I was hanging out with him, you know, when he was in LA too. And then he kind of disappeared off the face of the earth. So I don't talk to him much. Alexis, you know, I'll talk to every blue moon. Mary, you know, same, you know, less than a blue moon, maybe a blood moon, you know.
Too soon.
Who else was on it?
Chet.
Chet, I like Chet, man. You know, I've been telling Chet since the day we were both voted off. I'm like, you own me, man. I let you beat me. That's fucking pathetic. You own me. It's really sad. It bothers me still that he got further than me.
Oh, I mean, well, my favorite part, and people really do undervalue the pre-merge of Micronesia, I think, because it does have the Kathy quit, the Fair Play half quit, the Chet quit. Like, it has a lot of that. It's Penner getting medevaced. It has a lot of that type of stuff. But the Joel versus Mikey B storyline, I'm just saying, like, that's a golden storyline from that season. And the fact that both of you lose to Chet, not just you, Joel also loses to
Chet. It's so sad. It really is. I mean, but for me, it was like, fuck. I mean, I broke the cardinal rule. Like, if somebody goes after you, you got to go after them first. But like, I truly looked at those people and I was like, I can't play with them, you know? And so I made a conscious decision to, you know, to try to mend it with Joel, obviously, you know, I didn't do it the correct way. He didn't do it good enough, but you know, it's like I would have rather play with him, you know, for the next period of the game, you know. And back then too, you know, there wasn't tribe swaps left and right too, you know. And so it's like, you know, did we know that it was going to be a tribe swap at day 12? You know, like, you know, if I knew, I probably would have, you know, shut up even more. But I also feel like I did shut up, you know, I think I shut up too much, you know, like, cause they all hated Jason more than me, you know. It's like, they all won. And so to me, I was like, all right, they're going to vote Jason, you know, it's like, I'll let it go. But yeah, I mean, I forget what the question was, but
did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flour for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALIST with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALIST with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALIST when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
I've got another question, because on Digging Deeper, we kind of like look at it more like Phil and I kind of work in entertainment. So does Will. So like we're doing like not behind the scenes stuff, but like this is what Survivor means in a lot of different contexts. One thing that blows my mind is like some people are on the show for like two tribal councils. You're on for 11 days. But you're talking about an 11-day period to everyone that meets you in a Survivor context cares about an 11-day period you were on a show 17 years ago.
Do like, they?
In your head, is that something that's like, why am I going to talk about this 11 days for the rest of my life? Or is that a negative of being on a reality TV? Or it's like, bro, this is just par for the course. Like, this is my life.
No, it's great. Come on. You know, I mean, I don't know if there's, you know, more than a handful of people that have ever played that, you know, wish they didn't play, you know.
Right.
And I would say 80% of them are addicted to talking about it and can't let it go, want to talk about it. And then you got, you know, probably 15% that are like me that are like, oh, yeah, I'll talk about it because it's fucking cool, you know, and you know, but it's not my life and it's not anything that I long for. I don't stay up at night, you know, wishing to get back on to, you know, to get
see my Jeff again after all these years.
What's that?
See Jeff again after all these years.
Yeah. You know, I'd give him a little pat on the head. He's
like, I know you're wearing the hat, but like, do you at least think about, I don't know if how much of a head of hair you still have, but do you at least think about the fact that Joel's fully bald now? So you're like, hey, I got you beat. Yeah, you got Joel beat there. We might have beat you in the game, but you got him beat there.
Look at that fucking thing. I just shampooed it today.
Amazing, Mikey B.
Yeah. But what was your question? Am I glad that Joel's bald? Is that what
you said? Yeah, well, I'm just saying, you know, you said you don't stay up thinking about it, but you have to be thinking about the fact that Joel went bald like 3 years later, and here you are with a full head of hair still. I mean,
well, it took 3 years for Joel to admit that he fucked up, you know. Because I remember specifically, you know, like, you know, the time where like we saw each other, you know, he didn't hang out with me at all. In Ponderosa, and then when we went to Thailand, you know, he didn't want to be near me. He had a, you know, he had a different idea about who I was, you know, and you know, he didn't like me. You know, but then I don't know, I think I went to like the Super Bowl when the Patriots were playing Seattle in Arizona, and like I just hit him up and it was like, you know, he finally said, yeah, you know, I'm like, yeah, you did. It's like we were the only fucking people that could have played, you know, in Tracy. And if we were all smart enough, you know, including myself, you know, I didn't play a good game either, you know. But if we were smart enough, you know, we could have eliminated the dead weight, you know, which Mary was just a number, you know, Asen was just a number. You know, Kathy and Chet were useless. Love you guys, but you were useless. You know, and Tracy was just hitched on to their wagon, you know, just as I was hitched on to the young, you know, crew just to get them out. Like, to me, it was like the easiest. It was the easiest first part of the game that anybody had, you know, just to vote them three out, you know, and then start playing. And at that point, you know, Mary truly didn't have an opinion. Natalie didn't have an opinion. Alexis didn't have an opinion. Jason didn't have an opinion. I mean, it could have been a lot easier.
But yeah.
He ended up obviously regretting it.
So you go out in your season. This is kind of relating back to 50 now. You go out in your season before there was a swap, before there was anything. So you're just on the favorite. You're on the fans tribe. You know, you're the second boot off the fans tribe, and that's how that goes. And you were a big fan. And I know you said now you don't really think about it, but at the time it was probably like, well, that sucked. But let me ask you this way, with all of the twists and all of the craziness that's going on, somebody in the comments was saying next week we might be getting pairs on Survivor, and like it could be this like, oh, we're working as a pair and like we have to vote together, or we are the like votes count against us. Like,
this is a rumor,
supposedly that next week that might be happening based on somebody said it in the chat. So this is my question to you, like, if you're as big of a fan as some of these people who are going out and they're playing now in the new era, who have been watching, you know, even if they're 25 years old, maybe they went back, they watched everything they watch religiously. Are you more bothered by the way that you're going out, or would it drive you crazy to be like, oh, this random twist that I really can't do anything about is what's getting me? And like, you don't feel like you're getting your chance, or do you feel like it has to be, hey, you're playing Survivor, just be happy you got the chance?
Well, no, I think in the old school era, you know, and I was a grumpy, fucking, bitter man when I got voted off, you know, because I just wanted to play. You know, it's like, I don't think I would have cared if I was sixth, you know, or fifth place, or got to play and then got voted off, you know. But the fact that I got voted off like second out of my tribe, like it was brutal for me, you know, until we went to Thailand, you know, and then I was like, okay, they're out of sight, out of mind, you know, and I had fun, you know. But I think if anyone plays now, like, you can't be that bitter because it's 99% luck. I mean, you know, it's up there. You know, I mean, it's above 90% luck to win this game nowadays. You know, and back in the day, it was, you know, it was relationships. You know, it was strategy. It was, okay, you know, win some immunities and put yourself into the right position. You know, now it's just like, everywhere you turn, it's like, oh, advantage, you know, boomerangs and fucking extra votes, steal a vote. You know, to me, it's just way, way, way too much, you know, to get mad. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, that's the game. You know,
it's just not the same thing. Yeah. I mean, last night we have Stephanie go on a journey. She gets to put her arm up, and if she makes it an hour, she gets a steal a vote. earlier in the season, we have, yeah, there's the Gross Boys dance for everybody watching. And then earlier in the season, we have Colby go and play Tetris Topple against Savannah. He loses a vote. And so it's like what you're saying, that's the stuff that drives me crazy, because I love dissecting the game of Survivor. Like, that's really why I started doing the podcast. I love talking about, what if this move happened? What if this happened? Who got screwed? Who could be a better player? I like looking at the way you can play. And on this season, I'm having a hard time saying this person's playing a good game, because I don't really know who's playing the game, because it does feel like you dodge bullet after bullet after bullet rather than dodging players.
It's almost, if you don't fuck up, you skate through. You know, it's like D fucked up, you know, she got caught in a lie and it cost her, you know. And it's like, you know, like Devins is playing a great game because he's just having fun, you know, he's genuinely having fun. He looked a little tired last night, though.
That was the drinking.
Yeah, maybe. You know, but yeah, it seems like it's, you know, the person who makes the least mistakes wins, you know.
And I think what sucks about that is it. Are you able to be a good Survivor player anymore? Or is it like, the more passive I play in this part, and then now it's final eight, now get aggressive? And I think what we just talked about, like, you can come to your cast 17 years later and be like, oh, I could have thought it this way and we could have made something different. But 17 years from now, when we're thinking about season 50, and the answer is, I should have picked the other, I shouldn't have gone on that thing. That's not something you can rectify with other people. It's just a thing that happened in production where you're like, God damn it. Like, yeah, I can't change my fate at all.
Even going back to Ceri when she got, you know, voted off because she had to be, you know, it was what, six people and, you know, five people had an advantage. And it's like, she didn't get voted off. You know, it's like, she didn't deserve that, but it's like, okay, it's the fucking game now.
Yeah. And somewhere along the line, Jeff decided that he'd rather that, like, he'd rather the random stuff so he can say, oh, this is like, you know, the last time you played, Ceri, this is what happened to you. And somewhere along the line, that became a positive. But, you know, right now, Dalton Ross over at Entertainment Weekly, he's doing his winner bracket and he goes through and it's like, OK, which winner is better? And then, like, one of the early matchups was Brian Heidick versus Kenzie from 46. Brian Heidick and Kenzie didn't play the same version of Survivor in any way, shape or form. And like, I think Brian played a better game than Kenzie, but at the same time, Brian was also playing like Survivor. And we had Lex on the podcast back right before season 40. And he had said, you know, in Africa, when they did the tribe swap, that was the first time that like production was really like, hey, we can kind of stick our finger in this and we can make it move the way we want to make it move. And that's not necessarily a good thing. Like, it's a little bit of interference. And now it's at the point where like, what could Colby have done differently? Nothing. Yeah. Like, you couldn't do anything different.
I agree with you for sure. You know, it's like looking at the winners now, it's like, I don't put them in the same bracket, you know, but I'm sure Kenzie won the vote because she's younger and she has more fans than Brian. He's a 55-year-old man who nobody's going to vote for.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, yeah, but it, to me, completely different game. I loved the old game. You know, I still watch. You know, I've never watched any reality shows except Survivor, and I still watch it. You know, so, but it's a different game. I give way more props to the early day winners than now, and it's good for them.
Now there's a 3-point line, and it's like there's different way to play this game, and like some of these 3-point shooters that win New Era, if it was bully ball, you can only score by two getting down in the paint, they would never last.
Yeah, but even that analogy, though, you know, it's like not everybody can choose to shoot the three. You know, it's like it's they're picking out of rock. You know, they're picking out of bags or drawing straws, whatever. You know, like last night, picking the shot in the dark. You know, it's luck. You know, if you shoot a three, you can hit the three. You know, but if you pull out of a bag five times in one game, you know, it's how many times have they done it already? You know, it's probably four times already in 15. Yeah. Days, that's, you know, more than half of the game. It's like, so there's going to be 8 to 10 random occurrences that happen for every player that determines the outcome.
Yeah.
The other thing that blew my mind last night too was like, we're all rooting for D's shot in the dark to work, but if her shot in the dark works, Tiffany just goes home, so like they're still screwed. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, even Tiffany is really tense as it's happening, because this is Tiffany's life on the line. But I, as I was like, oh, I hope it works, and then it doesn't work, I was like, it didn't matter. She's still in such a losing position. Like, I know Caleb kind of went home right after he'd played his four seasons ago. So it is kind of like, you need an idol, not a shot in the dark, or even the idol wouldn't have worked. So it's like, at 14, you can't really play yet.
Mm-hmm. All of it, extra vote, idol, shot in the dark. I mean, there's just so many chances that happen, good or bad. You know, it's just different. You know?
Yeah, and like, I don't know if you play craps whenever you go to Vegas or wherever, but look, I can sit there and I can put the dice the way I want to put them before I toss them down the table. But at the end of the day, I can't get better at rolling dice. Like you said, you can get better at shooting a three-pointer. You can get better at making layups. You can set up your dice however you want to. You're probably going to roll five or six times at best before you roll a seven. Like, that's just the way the game works. And so for me, that's what I don't like about this new version of Survivor, because there's too many things. And now we're going to get down, let's say next week's a pair. Let's say next week somehow a double boot, whatever. Then we're going to be down to final 11. And I'm like, okay, who's playing a really good game of Survivor? And these are really good players, but I don't know who's playing a really good game of Survivor at Final 11. I don't know.
I agree with you. I'm in. I'm on board, buddy.
Thanks, man. Go ahead, Blake. Get your one thing in, and then I do want to hear the story of this whiskey being made.
The one layer, so Blake, get this layer that I think we got to figure out, because I think it's going to be what was important of this episode. Jonathan and Dee have a conversation and it doesn't go well. It goes sideways immediately, and we have a positive conversation from Jonathan and we have a negative confessional from D, and it's Jonathan rage baited or kind of like baited D into being aggressive in front of people and saw that. And this is going as a good move for Jonathan. And part of me is like, I think whether you believe him or not, that's kind of how it's presented. And here's what happened. And Jonathan doesn't get a single vote and everyone dogpiles on D and D's gone. And I'm trying to be like, not if it was D doing it to Jonathan, I think everyone would be like, D is owning this loser. Like, let's go. And that is not how people receive that on the internet. And it is kind of interesting of like, why not?
They're watching what was edited, you know. I mean, that Jonathan was right, D was wrong. D got caught in a lie. Everybody knew it. They needed to have some kind of a battle of who else can go besides D, you know. And they create the stories from there, you know. Yeah. I mean, they create the stories, you know. It's like, even with me, I would have taken Alexis. I would have made out with Alexis over Mary. You know, it's like, you know, I was flirting with Alexis more than Mary.
Mary, who?
Alexis, you know, just didn't pick up on it. You know, and they all had their, you know, visions of what was going on. You know, but they didn't have any other reason to show me getting voted off, so they created the Mary situation. You know, and so, you know, that it's just editing, you know.
Everybody, you had to ask more questions about her book.
No.
like how, that's just a no, Blake. That's not even a, there's no elaborate, that's just no. so you had said back when I first got reached out to, when we first started talking to you with the whiskey here, you said you had made this, it's coconut. And it is very good. I was gonna do the whole thing of like, if I didn't like it, I was gonna be like, oh, I haven't tried it yet, you know. But I did like it, so I'm bringing it up.
Would have made you try it.
Well, that's true. I know it is sitting right here. I know. So my question is, this is new, but did it start because of Micronesia? Like, what is this? How did this happen?
Well, so the story that I say, you know, I was on long enough to enjoy coconuts for the first time in my life. I was not on long enough to get sick of them. I've always been a whiskey drinker, and coconut water and cracking coconuts became cool for me after being on Survivor, you know, opening up with a machete. And I was in Costa Rica on a beach, and there was a machete, and I cracked the coconut, and I had a whiskey in one hand and the coconut in the other. I poured them together and drank them, and it was wonderful, you know. But that was probably 4 years after the show, you know, but I still was drinking coconut water and enjoying coconut flavors, you know, and then I just started mixing cocktails with whiskey and coconut water in different coconut flavors, and people that weren't coconut lovers or whiskey lovers were really enjoying the combination. Then fast forward a few more years, every flavored alcohol on the planet is coming out, and I'm like, why the fuck is nobody doing coconut whiskey? You know, why? You know, I'm like, somebody's gonna get fucking rich doing this. Why is it not? How do they not know? You know, and then I started doing a little research, and you know, it's kind of a thing in South America and Central America where they do, you know, coconut water ice cubes and just put it in their whiskey. You know, and then I got divorced and bored, and you know, just decided to do it. And so yeah, I just made it, and it's delicious. It's all natural. There's no additives, no preservatives. It's three ingredients, and it's 73 proof. So it's still a whiskey, but it's not a grandfather's whiskey. Mm-hmm. And it's light enough where it's approachable for, you know, the non-whiskey drinker. So it's kind of a hybrid. I call it a whiskey light, and it's versatile and unique. Go buy it.
There you go. The links are in the description of the video, everybody. And I will say, again, I'm a whiskey drinker. If you saw me at the Ron Clark event last week, you'd know I like whiskey. And I had a feeling Colby was going once I saw the tri breakouts. And Mikey B, you might not be a fan of Colby, but that's what it's all about for me. That's
your man crush.
That's Colby. My man crush. I mean, I was 9 years old the first time when I watched Australia. So, I mean, that was it for me. That's who I wanted to be when I got older. I'm not. But so it was brutal for me, but I drink a lot of whiskey. And I really enjoy whiskey. So I knew I would like this. And then I tried it. And since my wife does not like whiskey, and I was like, try it. And like I said, at the beginning of this podcast, she legitimately poured herself a shot. And then actually I poured her the shot. And then she said, oh, I was going to do a double because she's putting it in a decaf coffee right now. So there you go. That's a good thing. It does work for both.
It does. You know, I'm very proud of it. You know, it does allow the non-whiskey drinker to enjoy it, you know, and there's a lot of people that wish they could drink whiskey, you know, and I feel like I'm kind of that bridge where people that, you know, weren't, you know, they call themselves, you know, I'm not tough enough, you know, and it's like, I just can't do it. I can't do it. And it's like, I believe now they can, you know, so
there you go. Yeah,
I'm proud of it. It's going well.
Watertown Whiskey.
Thank you for promoting me, man.
You're welcome. Honest, this is, I don't have to put the paid promotion thing here, guys. I just enjoy it. I got the bottle, but I'm enjoying it. Like, it's good. So, you know, Coach over there, I don't know, man. You said Coach is promoting it. I don't know about Coach. I mean, do I believe what Coach is saying?
By the way, it doesn't matter. His post got like 110,000 views and like 1,000, like it blew everybody else's. Like Ozzy, I did one with Ozzy, you know, and it Sari did a whole unveiling of the boxing. I love Sari, and she's got a big fan base, you know, but like I think she got like 25,000 views. It's like Coach reigns supreme, baby. Mm-hmm. So everybody loves themselves some Coach.
I'm telling you. And they're gonna love him even more because last night he was performing with Ben Katzman out in LA.
Oh yeah. Oh, that was in LA?
That was in LA, yeah.
And that motherfucker, I guess he really doesn't like the whiskey then. He just did it.
yeah. He you could have done a whole sponsorship with him there, but he got up there. And if anybody is wondering how Coach is feeling and whether you should take Coach seriously at this point, I don't know if you've seen the clip of him with the microphone in his hand from last night, but he said, somebody asked him about the Blood Moon, and he said, we all knew it was horse shit. Production wants to be too involved in this season. They had a great game plan for 49 seasons. And I'm like, Coach, since when do you speak reason? Like, well, since when does this happen? Yeah. So I don't know. That was that people love him already. They're going to love him even more after he said all that.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think it's all most of the former players that have a podcast that, you know that they're not going back, you know, they're just trying to get clicks, you know, to me, you know, it's like everybody hated this, that, the other thing. It's like, who cares? you know, it's like, fine. You know, like they named it the Blood Moon, you know, I mean, it's like it was still a triple elimination, you know.
Yeah. But and again, the name for me, that doesn't matter. For me, it's the random draw. You have 2 hours to go hang out together, figure
five,
it out.
That's five, what, five, too. Yeah, yeah, it's complete bullshit. I'm with you 100%. It's just not fair. It's like all the work that they did up until that point was null and void. I mean, it's like. You know, you can be with you know, three. All you needed was two people, you know, to be on your side, and it's over. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree.
We got St. Cliffo here. I'm literally sipping Woodford right now. Give me a specialist promo code, and I'll try. What's the what's the thumbs down for? Hey,
you can do the Johnny Fairplay survivor code. You can get the bundle: two bottles, two coconut cups, Jeez. Two shot glasses, a bottle opener, a couple koozies for $150. Go for it. And then I think it's whatever the Fair Play discount is. I think it's like 15% off. But
then you get. Go ahead.
No, go. You
sir, code word is grandma or what?
Survivor. Sir, so survivor's the code?
Yeah, right. Which he I guess has been like reprimanded and threatened by CBS numerous times to have the survivor code. You know, for me, I just didn't give a shit. You know, I was like, I'm not on anybody's radar at this point, you know. And I was like, you want it, Johnny? You got it, buddy. Survivor code. Just survivor.
There you go, St. Cliffo. And then there's Fair Play's kickback. So I got to call Fair Play after this and say, hey, man, Venmo me. But no, I love that. I mean, I love that Fair Play just keeps sticking to the shtick of like, hey, all publicity is good publicity, even when it's terrible publicity.
He's the best. I was doing these montages, you know, because I'm whoring myself out for Survivor 50, in case you haven't noticed that, you know. Like I was like, why not? You know, I knew it was going to be the most popular season. And so, you know, I'm kind of, you know, back in, and it's like, I'm asking everybody, you know, do a montage, just say if any of these few lines, you know, and Fair Play goes all these events and he's like taking control for me. You know, he's taking videos. He's getting content for me. He's the best. I love
Fair Play knows what he's doing with that stuff. He does. He gets it.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, there you go, St. Cliffo. Now you know. All right, going back to, because we're almost at an hour here, so let's go back to 50 here, and I want to go with another old schooler here. Blake did the Gross Boys dance earlier, and Mikey B, I know you played only a couple seasons after Stephanie LaGrossa played, so kind of the same era here. Last night, with her doing the challenge and everything like that, did that hit for you guys? Was that boring to you? How did you feel about the entire way that that was put together?
You know, again, you know, for me, the lose a vote, get a vote, or an advantage, I just don't like that. You know, I thought it was a really cool looking challenge. You know, and she described it well. Was she like torture chamber? Mm-hmm. You know, which it kind of looked like it. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it was exciting at all. You know, and holding your arm up. I mean, honestly, I've had 20 surgeries in my life. You know, I look at half of these challenges and I'm like, I'm stepping down. You know, it's like when they're holding on by a toe, like I'm 250 pounds. It's like, I'm not going to win. No, you know, so it didn't do much for me, to be quite honest with you. You know, was that the question? Did I like it or not?
Yeah, Blake, what do you think?
I think it was, why are we using this challenge? I know maybe you don't want to build 14 of those and do a challenge, but I think everything that's exciting about watching that challenge is another person next to you being like talking shit to you. So having somebody do it by themselves, and like she literally pulled the other thing and then it was like, oh now. Yeah, this is legitimately all it's going to be for an hour is me doing this.
I agree.
And then they were like, camera angle, camera angle, camera angle. And I was like, why did you pick watch paint dry as our try to win a vote thing this week? Because it's not visually interesting. It's not, it's a thing that you can't even really think. Cause I was like telling my friend that I was watching this, I was like, that would be like if we put our hands up right now and didn't put it down until somebody gets voted out of tribal council an hour from now. Like we couldn't even pretend to care to do that, but it doesn't seem that exciting or that hard to do when you're sitting on the couch.
Especially she could hold it with her other arm.
They've never done that before, I don't think.
But I agree with you, Blake. I mean, it could have been a cooler final five challenge or something like that with everybody doing it, you know. But
this was a challenge from your season, Jason versus Parvati, infamously, where they all convince Jason to step down, right? And they all have their fingers.
Another you know, Mensa move by the Irai tribe.
Poor fans, man. It'd be cool if they had if they do fans versus favorites three, I feel like they need to make the fans like Olympians and people that have gone to Harvard, and the favorites can be like first boots from their tribes.
They're not doing anything. You know, it's an unfair game, period.
What was you were listed as writer back when you were on Fans Favorites, right?
Yeah, I came to Hollywood for the dream, my man. You know, I was writing and acting. You know, I think I chose writer because it sounded cooler. You know, but yeah, I actually wrote a script back in 2005 that got a lot of love and had a chance to be sold. It didn't get sold, you know, and I did some commercials back in the day, a lot of short films, you know, and so I was in the industry and basically until I was on Survivor, and then I was just having so much fun, you know, where I was just going on charity events across the country, and I was just having fun, and I just kind of, then I moved to the beach and started an ATM company doing cash machines, and that was it. My Hollywood career was over.
Gotcha. Because yeah. Did that play into you getting cast on the show at all or no?
I don't think so. No, I was actually, I actually did not even submit a tape. I was one of the lucky locals, if you will. That, you know, like, I don't know if you know, but you know, they usually fly in, you know, 100 or so people that they feel can make the show. And then, you know, if they have 18 out of 20 that they know that they want to cast, you know, but they need two specific people to fill out the personalities and whatnot, you know, and then they start looking locally, you know. And I had just like a friend of a friend, you know, like call me and was like, hey, you know, my roommate was talking about Survivor and what they're looking for in casting. And all I could think of was you. And I was like, I did send in the tape after Colby, by the way, same with you. You know, I did have a man, you know, I liked him. I liked him, but I sent it in before he cheered for Tina, you know, but, you know, but anyway, I did submit a tape, you know, a few years earlier, you know? And so it was an easy one of like, oh yeah, I submitted a tape, just not for this season, you know? And then they, Lynn Spielman, who was the casting lady, you know, called me and said, pack a bag. But I was already, they were already about 9 days into the casting process when I showed up. And I was probably there for like 3 days. And so I just, you know, a room with more and more people, you know, I probably had like 6 interviews, and then the rest is history. But I didn't submit a tape. What was your question again?
No, that was good. That was a good answer. That's what I was looking for. I was just curious because back with Fans versus Favorites, I mean, a lot of it felt like, you know, it was positioned for the favorites to go very far on both versions of Fans versus Favorites. And that's why I was just wondering if like the writer thing played into it at all, maybe to have you go head to head with Penner as a storyteller, being that he was also a writer.
I didn't even think about that, to be honest with you. But I don't think so, because I know they wanted me to be the flirt, you know. It was like, in, you know, cause even when I was done with all the casting, you know, like, that, you know, they were still calling and keeping me updated, you know, and it's like, you know, they were pretty honest with me about it. And it was like, you know, Erica Shea, I don't know if you know her, but she was part of the casting process, and she's the mother of my kid, the godmother of my kids. And so I'm very,
I've worked with Erica Shea in my past.
Oh, nice. She's the best.
Yeah. I've not heard her name in solid 6 years or so. That's crazy.
She just got engaged. I just spent Easter with her and her fiance and my kids. You know, she's the godmother of my kids. But she was the one who was the day-to-day handler with me, you know, and she's like, listen, you know, like they need you to be the flirt, you know, and like 80% of the people are in agreement that you could be the flirt, you know, but there's an important 20% that don't buy it. You know, you need to come in and flirt. What the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. You know,
let me flirt with $1 million.
Yeah, I mean, but I had to go back to the Survivor whatever grounds and just, you know, kind of doing you know, off the cuff, you know, unofficial interview. you know, but yeah, the fans versus favorites is not a fair game.
So yeah, no, it is not.
Yeah,
it is not. I think it would be fair now. I talk about it all the time. I feel like it would be fair now because a lot of the fans have met a lot of the players and at least know who a lot of the players are and stuff like that, have relationships with a lot of players. But back then, I mean, you're running up a wall, like, you know, yeah. And it's a vertical wall. I don't know how you're running up it. Like it was brutal. But Mary Duda says you can flirt with us. There you go. There you go.
Damn, darling.
So before we wrap this up, I want to just ask both Blake and Mikey B here before we go. The end game here, we're in the final 13. D just went home last night. I know, Mikey, you have the relationship with Ozzy, with Siri, coach, all that. Who are you really hoping wins this season? Like, what do you think would be best for season 50 at this point of who would win?
Who's first? Blake, you ready?
It's still Siri. I saw her crying in the next time on Survivor and it made me mad. I'm like, whoever made Siri cry this bad, die and burn in hell, whether it's casting producer or not casting producer, whether it's the producers of the show or what. I don't know what a person can do to make her cry. I don't think I've seen her cry from like an argument at all. Maybe there was a, oh, it sucks that I lost cry, but she looks so sad. And I think she is like, I know she's old enough to be my aunt, but she is my like, do not mess with her personality on this show. So I think Siri, I put her as number one in our cast rankings on Sunday. So I think she can go the distance.
You want and think she's going to win? How about that? Let's play a want and think.
I want her to win. I don't know what she's going to do at Final Five that's different than the last four times she was at Final Five. But I think she has enough time. I think also Rizzo is the key. She hasn't had a Rizzo to maybe not think for her, but bounce ideas off of. The other five times she's been at Final Five, she's had to do all the work mentally and to like share that with somebody who maybe has a brand new idea. And maybe Rizzo's scarier than her to some of these people. Let's vote out Rizzo instead.
By the way, there could be a little foreshadow too, because last night, you know, she was stern about how she never shares information and then she did. So that could backfire on her. I love Siri. She's, you know, she's an amazing human. She's hilarious. I'll be happy if she wins. You know, I can't say like, you know, I'm dying for her to win. I think Christian's going to win so far. I mean, I think he deserves it at this point. You know, and Rizzo after last night, after, you know, sitting coach down, you know, he jumped up high. Ozzy, you know, I think Ozzy can get there, but I think it'll be a similar story with him. It's like, did he do enough except for being pretty and less athletic than he was 15 years ago, but still athletic, you know? So I'm not sure he can pull it off. I don't know. Devin's is a sneaky underdog, you know, because I think he's going to have no enemies on the jury, you know, but he needs to make some moves, but it's early, you know, it's like, there's so much time left, you know, and Emily, you know, actually I enjoy Emily a lot as well. You know, I didn't think much of her, you know, prior, but you know, she cracks me up, you know, and she can't keep her foot out of her own mouth either, you know. And so I don't think she can win, but you know, it'd be kind of funny. All right. So I think Christian and, you know, I don't know. I guess I want him. Yeah. I think he's entertaining. I don't know, you know. And playing great, so I'm cheering for him.
Yeah, he's bringing everything, which has been nice. And Emily's funny. I mean, Emily being the one who ends up spilling, and that's what gets D into most of the trouble, and that's been Emily's story the entire time. And I mean, Emily is just beautiful chaos right now. I love it. I love just watching her just make a mess of everybody's game and just be like, I don't know. Like, it wasn't my fault. Sorry, guys. And she just keeps on skating by. I mean, I think, and that's what kind of frustrates me too with a lot of the twists and advantages and stuff. The cast is super entertaining right now. I know it's not the cast anybody wanted when the season was announced, but like they're all delivering. And like even some of the people I wasn't super excited to see, like Jonathan again, he's delivering. And I feel like that's been good. And that's what I get frustrated when they start doing all these random twists and stuff. Cause it's like, just let the players. Last night's episode was perfect because everybody was just entertaining me the way they were supposed to entertain me. And that's what I want Survivor to be. That's it. The vote doesn't need to matter.
Well, who do you think and who do you want?
My preseason winner pick was Devin's. So I'm going to stick with that's who I want. Because I feel like, you know, if anybody was going to win, like let it be the person I picked all the way back in May when we found out what the cast was going to be. In terms of who I think, I'm having a really hard time this season kind of piecing together because I think it's been all over. But right now, like part of me is feeling like Ozzy, Suri, Rizzo is the trio to watch. That poly relationship could be it. Now, Ozzy and Rizzo are not letting Suri sit at final three with them. If they do, good for Suri for winning the game. And if it's Ozzy versus Rizzo, I think I'd go Ozzy. And I was not excited for Ozzy to be on this season at all. But he's bringing it in a way that I was not expecting. So I think I'm going with Ozzy as who I think wins the season.
Cool.
There you go.
All right.
There you go. Well, Mikey B, this is a pleasure. So there you go. Yeah, hold it up.
Well, why don't you drink it, Phil? You haven't had
a cup. I don't have a cup.
Just drink it straight from the bottle, bro.
Yeah.
Is it good? I got to get the part without the plastic. Here you go.
Oh, wait, are you lying? Did you open it?
There you go. Is that the face you want me to make? No, it's seriously so good. It doesn't. Here, you can see my hand now, so you can see I'm actually drinking it.
As a pina colada guy, I got to try out a pina colada whiskey type.
Yeah,
dude, it's worth it, man.
Skinny colada. You can do a skinny. You don't do half the pineapple and put coconut water in it. Skinny colada. Hydrate while dehydrating.
My wife's text was, this coffee concoction is legit 10 out of 10.
Nice.
Prove it. Show it.
That's over there. That's too far away. That's too far away. St. Clippo says, what the F? What, did I not drink it manly enough for you, St. Clippo? I'm drinking from a bottle. Like, what do you want from me?
Well, I appreciate
Mikey B, this was a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
This was a pleasure.
Thank you. That was
fun. Where can everybody find your stuff? What's everything that's going on with you? I know, obviously, the whiskey is the big thing right now, but
yeah.
What do you want people to know before we leave?
Well, we're in about 450 stores, bars, and liquor stores in Massachusetts. And then we just got distribution out here in San Diego. Mm. So we're in about 150 or so places in San Diego. Randomly, I live in Hermosa Beach. You know, we're in about 15 places locally. We're in about 25 places in Palm Springs. But Instagram, just Watertown Whiskey, and you can go on watertownwhiskey.com to learn more about us and purchase your bottle. We deliver to all 50 states, so anybody can get it.
Nothing in LA yet, huh?
Where are you guys?
I'm moving back to LA in 2 weeks. Blake is in LA.
Yeah, where?
Silver Lake.
Oh yeah, you hipster, you.
going back to Sherman Oaks. That's where I'm going back to. So
Sherman Oaks. Yeah, we're in a place called the Woodman in Sherman Oaks. You know, it for me, until I get distribution here, you know, it's hard for me to drive, you know, 45 minutes to see an account, you know, when I'm doing a little of everything in the business. So it's like, we're going from small pocket and expand, pocket, expand, pocket, expand. So LA is soon, you know, I'm actually starting now to hit some accounts here, you know, but it's more important to, you know, do well in the markets that you're in instead of being in 20 markets and not doing the best job with it. You know? So slow and steady, but LA soon. Yeah.
I'll be right around the Woodman. So that's my goal now. When I get back to LA, I'm going to drink Watertown Whiskey with Mikey B at the Woodman.
And by the way, so props to your wife, because they've had the coconut espresso martini on their menu for like a year and a half. You know,
amazing.
The espresso martini is delicious.
There you go. And that's what my wife will absolutely drink if we go there. So there you go.
When?
And yep. Blake, the skinny margarita for you, buddy. You know, there you go.
Oh, health, yeah, brother.
Health first.
I love it. I love it. Well, everybody, thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Friday, tomorrow night, McKenna and John will be live with Survivor Rewind. This weekend, I'll be live with Adam Klein. We'll be doing power rankings. Haven't confirmed the date or a time. It's either going to be Saturday or Sunday. I know it's happening. We just don't know what time. And then on Monday, I got Gordon Holmes from Xfinity fame, who's now doing his own Substack. So he'll be on with me on Monday night. And then Tegwith has Franny on Tuesday. So we got a big, busy slate coming up this week. So make sure you like this video, subscribe to the channel, check out Watertown Whiskey, and we'll see y'all next time.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.